Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Go from a fan of the show to star of the show. Send us your opinions now, and they could be discussed live on today's show. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Thursday, August the 22nd, although we've already got several people that were lined up in the queue, and we've already got a hello, a howdy from North Carolina. So we always love when you let us know where you're listening and watching from on this episode number 58 today, coming to you from the bunker from another sunny, hot day in Western Canada. It's beautiful. It's been a fantastic summer in this little part of the world. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. If I'm love, he's marriage.
That's good.
We're an institute you can't disparage. Did you hear these guys on the other side of the wall?
What was that?
What?
Well, you do look a bit like Al Bundy.
I was going to say, none of these, we have all these young kids working on the show. They don't even remember, what was the name of that show? Al Bundy and Peg?
Married with Children.
Yeah, they don't remember. Yeah, Clark just said, you don't remember either.
Marriage.
The Expendables are punchy this morning. That's what our staff has taken to calling themselves. The Expendables. Did you know that, Remps?
The Expendables.
We're the Expendables.
The whole crew's been deemed expendable by past employers.
But it's also an all-star cast.
Well, of course it is, but they like it.
Maybe it was because people were scared to death of them.
Well, that too.
That's possible too.
I think people are scared to death of them.
I just assumed it was because we were all deemed expendable. I don't know. But we're all here together on a Thursday morning. In a way, my Friday. It's my last show of the week. I'm flying to the airport right... I will be flying to the airport, trust me. To fly to Moncton with my wife, which... Kelly Rempel's here, the Silver Fox. Yeah, we're going to Moncton.
Love Moncton.
And listen, I got to say something right now. Guys. I have successfully got my wife to not check a bag. It's all carry on the whole way. I know, right?
Three days?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I did that.
How did you do that?
Just convinced her, some cajoling. I charmed her.
So are you giving up half of the space in your carry-on?
I'm only carrying her shoes, her extra shoes. That's it. She's with two carry-on bags, no checked baggage with my wife. That's a win.
You get a personal item. I want to see the Instagram story of her to the airport. I can fit this.
Yeah, well, we did it to Calgary a couple weeks ago. Wow, and I said, see, it can be done.
I never take a bag.
Well, me.
My wife does.
Yeah, but
though.
We're men.
Yes.
I know.
That's the impressive
The point thing. Here is I got my wife to not check a bag. Wow. And so I've already won the day, and we've only been on the air 3 minutes. Kelly Rempel, Darren DuPont, also coming up on the program today, the head coach of the U of R Rams, Stephen Bryce. Coach Bryce will be here. They lost last night at home, 19-10, to the Manitoba Bisons. At Mosaics. You were there. Give me a quick synopsis before Coach Bryce gets in here.
Well, it's a preseason game, and there's lots to like about the future of the team. And I know the Rams are in a bit of a transition. They lost a lot of talented players. I mean, last year, despite the off-field stuff, they had a really good team. And, of course, they're going to go through a transition. So are the Bisons. They're going to be interesting, too. But I really like Josh Donnelly, the young quarterback. He's very, very highly touted. I know Stephen Bryce is big on him. Seb Britton isn't going to play for the year. He was the backup last year. I was excited to see him take over and give Josh one more year as mentor a little bit because he redshirted last year. But no, I'm excited about the future of this team. And the biggest thing about the preseason, it's just fun to go and hang out with those
guys. Of course.
Bob Thomas and to see everybody.
The equipment guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love those people.
There's the brief synopsis. Coach Bryce will be here in the bunker later on in the program. Donald Hewitt, Dangerous Don Hewitt, from CTV Regina. He's been covering the Riders since 1979. Ramps, you can't wait to get Diamond. It's Diamond Don Hewitt. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite people on the planet.
Yeah.
Love Don. I worked with Don for 13 years, I guess, at CTV. Just thoroughly enjoyed every water cooler discussion I had with him.
And who else, Clark? Who else? Real nice, Clark. Eddie Steele. So Eddie Steele, our Edmonton correspondent, will be with us from the City of Champions. I got to write this. I probably should know.
Still call him that?
They took the sign down. I'm calling them the City of Champions forever because I love it. I think it's great. And we got to get our Edmonton viewership up. But listen.
I knew there was beer.
You knew there was a reason.
Motivation.
I got a lot of things to get to here. I'm jealous of Winnipeg, okay? I'm jealous. We're obviously watching all the coverage out of Winnipeg as they get ready for the NFL game tonight. Well, if you're not, I am. I'm sure you guys are. Raiders, Packers tonight at IG Field. We had a turn down an invitation to be there, but I'm going to Touchdown Atlantic, so I'm happy about that. But I'd love to beat the game. Guys, are you seeing this? Like, the Raiders plane came in last night, and Bob Irving, the voice of the Bombers, said it basically blocked out the sun. He said their plane is as large as the Manitoba legislative buildings. And then Aaron Rodgers comes in there looking like Borat, you know, with his Canadian tuxedo. Yes. And all that. And then, of course, the punter of the Raiders gets off the plane wearing a T-shirt that says Winnipeg, Alberta. And it's like, oh, this is a schmozzle, and I love schmozzles. It's a circus. It's a gong show. And, Kelly, that's what we love, and that's what it's turned into. And they haven't even kicked off the game yet. I want to be there so bad.
Yeah, you know what? I would like to be there myself. My son, the driving force, you know him well, Rod. We're NFL junkies. We love the NFL. And we're very disappointed that, you know, the game couldn't be here. Not because I think that it would, frankly, be much different in terms of the ticket sales. Like, I laugh when people say, yeah, if it would have been in Regina, they'd have sold 30,000 tickets. No, it wouldn't have, folks. It wouldn't have. But you know what? It's still going to be a lot of fun. And week three, Darren, we've talked about this, is always kind of a dress rehearsal game. So you're going to see probably the starters play closer to a half, which is a lot better than what you generally see in the preseason. Last weekend, my Vikings, I think the starting group played two series. This will be a lot different, hopefully,
yep,
for the people going. And there is a certain amount of excitement that anything, I mean, I know people are going to criticize me for saying this, and I'm sorry, okay, because we're in the heart of CFL country. But there is something just so cool about the NFL and the vibe and the excitement and the swagger that comes
along
with it.
We're seeing it.
We're seeing it. Winnipeg, Alberta, I mean, come on.
So I was alerted to this yesterday with a global news alert that I got from Winnipeg. And it said, basically said, if Winnipeg didn't have a big enough inferiority complex as it is, now this. The Raiders get off the plane wearing T-shirts that say Winnipeg, Alberta. And to be honest, I felt kind of bad because I didn't realize Winnipeg had an inferiority complex. And then I stopped to think about it, and I'm like, totally makes sense.
Well, so do
now
we.
I get what I don't think we do as much as them.
You don't think so?
I think that we accept who we are. What did I say on the show the other day? Hey, welcome to Saskatchewan. It's not for everybody. We get what we are.
Yes.
Wait. A great marketing slogan.
Well, I stole it from Nebraska. That's their marketing campaign. There's signs up. Welcome to Nebraska. Honestly, we're not for everybody. And we get it.
Oh,
and I think we're secure in that. Whereas Winnipeg's one half world class in some ways. Other half, agriculture is the number one industry, and they are a rural province. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they... We know what we are. So I think they had... There's a bit of an identity crisis there in Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. And I started to feel bad. All these years of picking on Winnipeg, I thought it was just fun. It was a back and forth. And I realized, oh, I'm actually...
Touching a nerve.
Hurting them?
Oops. Yeah.
That wasn't my plan. This is supposed to be fun.
But I think there's some similarities between, you know, Winnipeg and Regina in the sense that, like... It's not a place where people from outside go, yeah, I'd really like to move there. You know, it's kind of like how I feel about Swift Current and Moose Jaw and PA and the Western Hockey League. When players find out that they've been traded to Moose Jaw, Maybe not so much now, but it certainly was when I was growing up, or PA, and you lived there for 2 years, Rod.
Three, yeah.
3 years. It's not exactly a great feeling, I think, initially, but when they get there, they love it. I mean, how many guys that grew up Broncos, Warriors, or Raiders ended up staying there, getting a job,
marrying a local girl?
Yeah. They love it, but you got to be there first.
How many acquired taste?
But you know
what?
How many Bomber alumni never leave? Lots.
Most.
Like, they love it. They love it there. They're heroes there. It's like Regina. It's like being a rider.
And they have a Hooters.
Some can't. Well, that's true. Are you, by the way, have you given up on your dream of bringing one here to Regina?
Not necessarily given up on it. It's on the back burner. Let's put it that way. We've got other fish to fry.
But you know what I mean.
I think we all get what you're saying. And good morning, Winnipeg, by the way. I'm saying it again. If I need to butter you up, I'm jealous of you.
I love Winnipeg.
Well, and On Ice Entertainment invited us. We're supposed to be doing the show from sidelines right now.
That was the invite
that was extended to us. Oh. And we could. I know.
Oh, you're killing me.
It's killing me. Because I want to be there so bad. Now, having said that, and this is the warm-up, by the way, on show number 58, shout out Shantae Peoples. The tickets have been slashed. Because as of last week, there were 8,000 sold. All of a sudden, boom.
Embarrassing.
I'm seeing tweets that it's going to be 20,000 people. Bob Irving, the voice of the Bombers, is saying 20,000 will be in there tonight. And that's because of slashed ticket prices. So you guys, in the time we have left in warm-up, which is some time here, you can take it away. I mean, if I'd paid $400, like our good friend, the sports doctor, he's the Guy Fieri clone that comes in here with a Bomber jersey. He lined up the opening day to buy tickets at $400 a pop, and he bought four. If people were now getting them at $65 each, I'd be a little pissed.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. I mean, it's like the season ticket holder at a Warriors or Pats or a Rough Rider game that pay $500, but every second Tuesday they're letting people in free all the time.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, well, what did I buy a season ticket for at all this money if the guy that's sitting over here got half of his games for free? So that's why teams don't do those kinds of things as much as they used to, because it started to agitate their season ticket base.
This is
a little bit different because this is a one time only. And my guess is that the promoter, with all due respect, doesn't really care, because he's coming in to do one event and he's leaving. He doesn't have to pick up any pieces after. In fact, after the lack of ticket sales, you'll probably never touch Winnipeg again with a 10-foot pole as it pertains, you know, to an NFL game anyway. So what does he care? But I do agree in the sense that it does frustrate people when you shell out that kind of money, and now they're selling $40 tickets. The only thing I
65.
Think, 65, sorry. The only thing I could think of that might remedy the situation, and maybe they did this, I don't know. I remember I went to a concert one time, and I paid, I'm going to make up a number because I don't remember, but it was $50 or something. And then they started selling half-price tickets. But they let the people that had bought the $50 tickets, they gave them one extra one. So I don't know if they were doing that. So if, let's say, you bought the $400 ticket, they might say to you, well, you know what? Here's a couple. I mean, what do they have to lose? There's no sales anyway.
Give them the extra tickets.
Give the 8,000.
Darren made a great point relating this to airlines.
Well, we do it every day, right? We go through it every day when you buy airline tickets, right? We're never buying tickets at the same price, right? It's all about supply and demand. When demand is high, the prices go up, right? And when, you know, the supply is there and the demand isn't, then prices come down. And we do this with every sport.
Discounted by 15, 20, 25% usually.
But it's still a discount. Sometimes they'll drop them if they want to fill the airplane. But it's the same with every sporting event, every concert you go to. I open StubHub on my phone, and the closer you get to game time, the cheaper the prices are, right? Because they want to fill it. And so originally a ticket, I did it at the Rogers Cup. Tickets are $250 American for a ticket in center court, but right before the match is about to start, I can see it for $45 or for $50.
Did it piss you off?
Right? It did, because I was sitting there being like, I picked my spot where I'm like, okay, I got to get these tickets because I don't want to miss out. But that's the game you play with these things, right? You can risk it and hope for a great deal, but you're risking the opportunity that you might miss out on the game. A little different with the NFL game because it didn't sell, but I think for the Dave Patricians who went out and bought four, their thought was, okay, well, I want to make sure I get my tickets because this thing's going to be great. It's going to sell out, and I don't want to be on the outside looking in. Well, that's the game we play all the time.
Well, Don's watching from Ottawa today, Donald Mitchell. He says, why do these smart people screw up ticket prices so many times? They are smart. This is their business, Kelly. You've been in the event management. You've been a promoter for the WWF when it was the WWF. Yeah. It's all about risk. They're not dumb. They know what they're doing. Just, I guess, they overpriced the tickets initially, and now they're paying for it.
But there are times, though, Rod, where you wouldn't have to be, you know, like, have your PhD in marketing to tell that you've just completely outpriced your product. I'll give you a prime example. And I know I'm trying to pick on the Regina Pats because I like a lot of those guys.
You're going to the Memorial Cup. That's what you're talking about.
I'm talking about their outdoor game. Do you remember when they had like hundreds of dollars that somebody actually thought that people in the middle of February were going to pay $150 or $200 to watch a Pats Warriors game and fill Mosaic Stadium by selling tickets that were like in the $200 range or whatever it was. It's like, I remember looking at that going like, how could anybody actually think that that's going to sell? And they didn't. They sold like a few hundred tickets. And their goal was to sell 20,000 and they sold 500. And then everybody went, geez, whoever could have predicted that?
And it was minus 28 when that day rolled around. It was minus 28. People might have died out
but
there.
But this time, they priced it at $18. And it's not a stretch because they're not covering, as I understand it. I mean, basically the NHL is absorbing the entire cost of the NHL, the outdoor game. So they don't have that $1 million expense of funding the actual logistics and the infrastructure for the game. And they probably will draw a few people, but they're still not going to get 10 or 15,000 people, I don't think.
I think that's part of it in Winnipeg too, is the price of bringing an NFL game to Winnipeg or to Canada is so astronomical, and the teams aren't going to take any risk. They're going to get paid up front. Right?
The whole
teams, the NFL.
Just like the entertainer.
NFL is going to make their money, right? So if you're taking on all the risk, you have to price it at a spot where you can make your money back. And that's where the Pats did it right the second time around here, is they're letting the NHL take the risk. They're taking on the money. And now they have an opportunity to put on a really good game.
Well, and I think a lot of us feel the game that's going to be in Winnipeg tonight should be in Regina. It's not, which is a story for another time. But I will say to our viewers in Winnipeg this morning, just enjoy it tonight. Now you have an opportunity to buy tickets at $65, $75. Go watch Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I guess Carr and obviously AB not playing for the Raiders, but they will have some guys you'll know in the lineup tonight. So go and have fun. Dupes, we'll see you back here for overtime. Anything that you want to get off your chest before we bring in our next guest?
I'm good.
You're good? You're enjoying it?
Okay. Sit back and listen. I'm excited for the next one.
All right. Show number 58, recognizing legendary number 58s. There ain't a lot.
Yeah, I'm
from what I found. Shante Peoples would be one. Derek Thomas and Carl Banks.
Jeez.
That's about it. So on the Prairie Mobile text line, you can text in and write. Not even Steve Bryce wore 58. I know you didn't, Stevie. Sitting there, coach of the Rams, shaking his head off, said he's coming in next. Let us know on the Facebook feed, Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777. We're just getting rolling on this Thursday morning. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Canada's most watched Facebook live show is right here. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Employee pricing is back.
You pay what we pay with savings up to $19,000 on a 2019 F-150 Supercrew 4x4. And we got them starting at just $34,999 plus tax. Our new 2019 Ford Escapes are starting from just $24,999 plus tax. And you can save $6,000 on remaining 2019 Ford Explorers. Plus, most purchases qualify for $1,000 trade-in bonus cash.
You pay what we pay!
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, on a Thursday morning, episode number 58. Some more 58s came in the break. Steelers great, Jack Lambert, Christopher Letang, Xavier Fulton from the Grey Cup champion Saskatchewan Rough Riders. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. And a shout out to X, who watches every day from Chicago. Just ahead of our next guest, Thursday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Bryce Harper smacked a go-ahead two-run homer in the fifth as the Phillies downed the Red Sox 5-2 to sweep the two-game series. Corey Dickerson drove in two runs with a triple and a single in Philadelphia's sixth victory in 8 games. The Orioles tied a major league record by allowing their 258th home run this season, but hit four of them on their own in an 8-1 victory over the KC Royals last night. Justin Verlander pitched a two-hitter and lost. Verlander gave up solo homers to John Hicks and Ronnie Rodriguez as the Detroit Tigers beat the Houston Astros 2-1. Why does this not say what the Jays did last night? Rems, what'd they do last night?
They lost 2-1, I think, in the 10th.
Oh, so it was late.
They tied it in the 9th, but they couldn't quite close the deal.
At Chavez Ravine. And the XFL has names for its 8 teams. Now it just needs players. The league revealed team logos and names ahead of February's kickoff of the regular season. The teams are the LA Wildcats, the New York Guardians, the DC Defenders, Dallas Renegades, Houston Roughnecks, St. Louis Battlehawks, the Seattle Dragons, and the Tampa Bay Vipers, of which Mark Trestman is the head coach. That is your Thursday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. And on that vein, let's welcome in the head coach of the U of R Rams, Stevie Bryce. I'm going to give this to you right now. It's a gift certificate from Ballers, awesome, Stevie, to go on down there for lunch. So they're hot off the field. A home loss last night, 19-10 to the Manitoba Bisons at Mosaic Stadium, Coach Bryce. But I was down at your camp last week. The guys said that you'd be ready, your team would be ready for the game, and it sounds like you were.
Yeah, we were. We keep in mind that what our goal is for an exhibition game. It's to get out there, get a lot of reps, rotated a lot of players, did so early. Our goal is to get great film so we can evaluate players and come away healthy, and we accomplished both those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was telling Steve in the break that we're going to get into a broad football discussion today, not just about Canada West and the U of R Rams. However, I spoke with Josh Donnelly's dad this morning about Josh's play last night. They were happy. I think Josh was happy. Like, this was the real first live bullets for him, right? So how did you feel about your quarterback, the young quarterback, Regina kid?
We're pleased with him. We kept him in there about a quarter and a half. Like, he came out with a few left on the in the first half. And he's elusive. He's more elusive than we would have thought. You can't really simulate game speed and game action at practice as much as you try, but we put our quarterbacks are in red shirts and they're hands off at practice. So we got to see him play live, and he's greasy. I mean, he really finds a way to find a seam and tuck the ball and get up the field when things aren't looking good in the secondary, when he can't find the hole in the coverage. He evades defenders really well, and his precision was very good. We were very pleased with what we got there.
Noah Pickton's been helping him a lot. I know that. He was there last night and helping your young quarterbacks. Is the plan for him to be around and help mentor those guys all season, or is this sort of a short-term thing?
Well, Noah's a busy young man, And he's given us what he has for his extra time. He's coming there. And I think Josh has been under his wing for a number of years. They both come from the same really successful program at Leboldus. And I think that Josh has had a kind of a mentor in Noah for years. And it's great that he gets to learn from him throughout his collegiate experience.
A couple things are running through my mind. Is the All-Star Celebrity Weekend graphic up, Kelly, on the front of the TV here? Is it up?
The Rod Peterson's All-Star Celebrity Football
Yeah,
weekend.
That's Labor Day weekend on the Saturday night. I don't know if they can get the full camera. There it is right there. We did a bit of a soft launch. Noah Picton's confirmed for this, by the way. It's a flag football game Saturday night.
I want to be on his team.
Libel Field. Oh, yeah, Remps is confirmed as well. Stevie, you want to suit up? What are you doing Saturday, August 31st?
I might be good for a play or two.
Okay. You probably all the guys want is one more play. Anyways, Wes Cates, Neil Hughes, the list is growing. And when you brought up Noah, that reminded me of that. So he'll be suiting it up. I can't. None of us can wait. We're just in the process of getting some more sponsors signed up. Right, Tyler? And announcing that, but Kelly went on an historic rant before the cameras even started rolling,
oh, no.
Stevie. And it was about defense wins championships. Our business manager, Tyler, who's sitting over there on the sponsor's couch, threw that out. And Kelly popped a blood vessel right here and just went off. So here's how this all ties in. I was talking to your defensive coaches last week. And they feel very good about the defense. And they said, we have a good young quarterback that we believe in. We're going to grow with him. And I think they believe that defense wins championships. But Kelly, you don't agree. So, Steve, you think about it a little bit on that and what you go.
Well, I think that defense is very, very, very important. But I believe that offense, defense, and specialty teams wins championships. Not single out one part of the team and say, we're going to have to win, you know, with just defense. How many years now, okay, watching Grey Cup Super Bowls? What was the greatest Grey Cup of all time?
1989.
Was that game?
43-40.
Was that game won by great defense?
Absolutely not.
No. The greatest show on turf.
1999 St. Louis Rams.
Did they win every single week by playing great defense?
Not a chance.
No, but the Chicago Bears of 85 did, and the Baltimore Ravens of early 2000s with Ray Lewis did. So, yes, some teams have to win by playing great defense. Other teams win by playing great offense. But even the teams that win with great offense, generally week in and week out, put up lots of points. If their defense doesn't play well, there's going to be certain times throughout the course of the playoffs where if their defense doesn't play really well, they're not getting to the championship game. Sometimes it's specialty teams. Maybe that one, the difference in the game is maybe one kickoff return or one punt return that might have been the difference in the game. It could be one play from the most underappreciated aspect of football, in my opinion. That's good specialty teams. So I'm not trying to diminish the importance of defense. I'm just saying that these guys that think that defense wins championships, no, defense, offense, and specialty
teams win championships. Teams win.
And you can have different ways of winning different games.
So two things on that. One, that will be our poll question because Clark and I were thinking we couldn't think of a poll question. There it is. Yes or no on the Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, a daily poll question. Yes or no, does defense win championships? So that's A. Clark, let's post that. And two, I'm really going along with you because the last couple of years we had a defensive coach in Saskatchewan and Chris Jones and
how many championships
slightly above average quarterbacking. Above average, but not way above average. And they couldn't win championships. Even with Brandon Bridge in there starting in the playoffs. Never mind a championship. Couldn't win a game. So I'm really going away from this defense wins championships argument. But you have one more?
Just one last point. So yeah. I'm just going to, just right off the top of my head, the Pittsburgh Steelers, okay?
The Steel Curtain.
Yeah, but, okay, but... Whether you want to talk about the Steelers from way back in the Terry Bradshaw days, you know, talk about Jack Lambert, or you want to talk about the most recent success that they had with guys like Polamalu and Harrison and all those guys, was it just their defense that won those championships, or was it because quarterbacks like Terry Bradshaw and Ben Roethlisberger, when you needed to get that drive in the fourth quarter when you're down by 6 points and you needed to score, was it also I'm just spiffballing here, but is it possible that maybe the fact that they always seemed to be able to get that drive that could get the points when they needed it, did that not contribute at all?
So, Steve, you've had time. How do you feel about that old football adage?
You know, being primarily an offensive mind coach, I always think that if you don't have a quarterback, especially in Canada, you don't got a chance. You got to have a quarterback to have a chance. And I know historically speaking, that old adage of defense wins championship, there's a reason for that. I think historically is when championships are normally played in the most inhospitable environments, the coldest extreme temperatures where the hands are cold, the feet are cold, and you know you don't get the exotic passing plays, and the quarterbacks don't get the shine in those environments. So therefore you have to rely on the likes of those great defenses. You know, that being said, I actually believe it's more about team unity. It's about everybody kind of giving up a little bit of their self for the greater good of the team, whether you're offense, defense. You know, you look back to the Chicago Bears you're talking about, unreal defense.
Mike Monsters of the Midway.
Yeah, Mike Singletary.
Yeah.
And what he did with his defense. But you look at, you know, I think Jim McMahon could argue that he had a little bit of a role.
Something to do with that,
maybe one of the greatest running backs of all time, and Walter Payton.
Yeah.
There's just the list of names goes on. You look at right now, the most successful organization in football right now is New England Patriots. You know, you can't really argue the success there. And they got
one quarterback.
They got this guy who's like, I think he's the seventh highest paid quarterback in the NFL, Tom Brady, and he's pretty good. Like, he's not bad.
Yeah, he could play a little bit.
And you know what I've heard from a former player of mine who's been in that locker room when he came in as a rookie, Christian Barker. He was an offensive lineman of mine, and he was with the Patriots. He said it was mind-blowing. I took him out for a burger when he was on summer break, and he told me it shocked me. I was sitting in the locker room for the first time, and Tom Brady walks up, sticks out his hand, and goes, "Hi, I'm Tom Brady." As if anybody in the football world didn't know that. But that was part of the whole, you know, I'm checking my ego at the door, and I'm coming in, and I'm going to be part of something greater because we're doing this together. And it is all of what you said. It's offense, defense, and special teams. It's team unity. It's guys who aren't worried about the name on the back of the jersey. They're worried about the name on the front of the jersey.
How many guys are on your roster?
99.
Right. So I think of you often, Steve, and here's why. On one hand, I know how much fun it is to construct a program, and you've done an outstanding job of it. On the other hand, your fate is tied to 99 young men. The stress involved, I would not want any part of it. But the roster construction and the planning is what's fun about it. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing with the defense. I don't think you're sitting there going, you know, we got great defensive players, great defensive coaches. So if we got that,
if we
just have a decent quarterback, we'll win.
No.
So that's not how you construct a program, obviously.
No.
Yeah. How do you construct a program?
Well, I actually believe there's three steps to building a championship program, and we're en route to doing so. The first thing you do is you get the horses there. You got to recruit hard. You got to be one of the top shelf recruiters in the country. So you got to get the guys in the locker room and the right guys who are going to fit in. Not the best players, but the best people for the locker, the best fit. The second thing you do, you got to train them so that they can go beyond their potential. You know, I kind of hate that P word, the potential.
Physical training? Mental training?
Oh, both, all of it.
Yeah.
It's physical, it's academic, it's mental, emotional, psychological. You kind of got to fit all of those pieces of the puzzle together. And then once you have that, the last thing to do is you got to get them to come together. You got to get them to believe in each other. You got to get them to circle the wagons and take on all comers. Those are the three real steps to building a championship program. You know, I think we've recruited very well. We have an unbelievably young, youthful, vigorous football team. If you look at our roster, it's a who's who from Team Sask and Team Canada. It's a top shelf group of young men. And you say you're tying your fates to this group of 99 people. I wouldn't have it any other way. They're great.
You get
kids.
What I'm saying. I'm talking more off the field.
You mentioned stress. I mean,
yeah.
If I had hair, it'd be all pulled out and it'd be all gray. But yeah, there's some stress involved.
Of course.
Yeah, but you know, like I'm going to throw you a compliment, your program a compliment here. So I coach RMF football, and my son has been with the University of Regina Rams at the camp, which Mark McConkey does just an amazing job of running. And I see you out there working with the kids. Sometimes you're working with the linemen. Sometimes you're working with the defensive backs or whatever. But my son's done this camp now 4 years in a row, and these are quality, quality young men. I mean, I think one of the great things about that is that my son, for example, he comes out of that camp feeling like he knows these guys, mm-hmm. You know, because they're patting him on the shoulder pads and, "Hey, Spencer, good play," you know. So now there are times where he'd rather go to a Rams game than a Ryder game, mostly just because he feels in his mind, like, I know these guys. They've coached me 2 and 3 years in a row. Like, he gets to know them. They get to know him. They go down by the at the games at Mosaic there, and they got their hands over, and the players are, you know, high-fiving, and it's a quality group of players. So it's not always just about great athletes. I mean, obviously, you know, you'd be a fool to think that that's not
Jones
a huge,
tried that too.
A huge part of it. But it's the character, right? Like, you go, that's also a big part of it, mm-hmm. right, for you when you're out there scouting? And
you know, it totally is. There's two aspects of young men that you want talented football players, but there's two things I want in an athlete. I want character and I want discipline. And those two words, they're used a ton. And I don't think anybody's actually tagged a definition. A lot of people that use these words a lot don't really put a definition of it. They don't explain, what am I looking for? You know, discipline's really easy. Do the right thing at the right time for the right reason. And character is, it's your discipline when no one's looking. What do you like all the time? Who's the guy in the mirror? And you mentioned Mark McConkey. You couldn't find a better offensive coordinator, a better organizer, a better...
Good with the kids.
He's outstanding. He runs that camp, and he does it so well. It's just a joy. I get to go out there and just kind of be an assistant coach, help kids. Some guys don't even know how to get in a stance, don't know where to line up. So just be an extra set of eyes, and it's just fun to take on a different role because you've got these people that you can depend on, and they're outstanding, and they can run things and organize things very well. You know, that whole part of having the right coaches, you know, we've got a coaching staff of 14 people, and they are the right people. I wouldn't have anybody different in our coach's office than what we have right now.
Well, we're going to pause. A couple things. I told Stevie it wasn't going to be just about Rams. It would be football and a little life here. And we will get to a bit of a Canada West discussion here before he leaves us at 11. Here's something to think about in the break. My good friend Rusty Clark, Hall of Fame basketball coach, writes in today. Says, this is about football, though. Says, has a team ever won a championship without a great defense? Of course, you need a well-rounded team, but defense is number one. Impact leadership, number two. So we'll talk about that and more. Just hang on, because what do the 80s Oilers say? Best defense is a great offense. I kind of like that.
Think about 1989, Russ.
But through the year. He's not talking about one game. And they had a good defense
all
year.
They were average at best.
Bobby Jerison, Gary Lewis.
Look at the numbers. Larry Hogue. Okay,
we could debate this all day. You think, Steve, we're bringing you in on this. The poll question today, we've come up with it for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Does defense win championships? 57.1% say no. 57% say no. That and more. Canada's most watched Facebook live shows, The Rod Peterson Show. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing The Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. Hour one of the Rod Peterson Show, coming to you from the bunker from sunny Western Canada. It's beautiful out here. Episode number 58, honoring, recognizing number 58s. The names have come up. Shantae Peoples, of course. Christopher Letang, Xavier Fulton, and Chase DeLeo of the Anaheim Ducks. Remember him, Rems?
Oh.
Didn't he play in Portland?
Household name.
How could we forget Chase DeLeo of the Anaheim Ducks? Saying hello to everybody tuning in from around the continent today. Good morning, Nuji. Watching from Kelowna. Scott Powell down in North Carolina. As we talk about the poll question, does defense win championships? It's going up and down. Now 51.4% say yes, they do. I want to go to the Prairie Mobile text line for a second. Regarding 58s, this is from Dan in Regina. Jonathan Papelbon. How'd you forget that, Rems?
I don't know. I just wasn't thinking, I guess.
Jonathan Papelbon, former Blue Jay and Red Sox closer. Regarding does defense win championships? Ty Daku says, how about the 2001 Ravens? All defense. And honestly, Steve Bryce, that's the one team that always comes up when you talk about, you can't win without a quarterback. Well, they did. I mean, your friends must talk about that. I hear it all the time.
Yeah, but
Trent Dilfer,
Jamel
they always
Lewis
say.
Was a hell of a running back, and they had a great offensive line, and they'd shoot up a lot of clock.
Right.
No, nobody's saying that defense doesn't help. Or that it's not important. It's just that this neurotic idea, because somebody years ago said, offense sells tickets, but defense wins championships. Well, it does. Yes, it does to a point. But do you think, does anybody actually think that the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning won their Super Bowl because their offense sucked and they won with only defense? Like, come on.
Right. For sure. Now, I said we'd talk about Canada West football. We're going to talk a lot of Canada West football on the program today. As a matter of fact, I got an email come across my phone from Evan Dom up in Edmonton yesterday saying, Thunderbirds ranked number one in coaches poll. I'm like, what? Really? What year is it? And then it was for men's soccer. So I'm waiting for the football coaches poll to come out. Nothing against men's soccer. I just don't follow it as closely as I do Canada West football. But I'm going to jump immediately to this, Steve Bryce. You got Josh Donnelly. The Huskies have Mason Nyas. There's all this pub and ink coming out of Saskatoon about Mason Nyas. And well-deserved, by the way. He's put in his time. He's waited. Those are going to be some hellacious battles. Rams-Huskies this year. They always are, but this year just seems to have a little more pizzazz to them.
It does. You're looking at the two young, great quarterbacks who both played for Team Canada, both led Team Canada to victories over the U.S. So we're expecting for the next 4 years for these two guys to square off for it to be a great battle. You know, the Can-West, if you're speaking of the whole picture, four teams have new quarterbacks this year. It's going to be, and there's a big coaching changes all over the place, new special teams coordinators, new DC and at U of A. So there's a lot of question marks, but you're looking for a poll. I don't think polls mean anything. If you look at last year, who was picked last in the poll?
The Huskies.
The Huskies, they win the Hardy Cup. Go back to 2016, we were picked last, we came in first. So I think I'm kind of hoping we're really low on that poll.
But these are the coaches.
I know.
It's not the dumb media. It's not us idiots. It's the coaches that are making this. So anyways, Rems, go ahead.
You're right. I mean, the way that you necessarily think that it's going to go on paper, that has absolutely nothing to do with how it actually unfolds. Every year, there always seems to be a team or two that exceed everybody's expectations, and there's always a team or two that you wonder, how could this team possibly have only won two or three games with what they have on paper? And so, but you don't know which team is going to be which. Like, you know, you think, I mean, I look at your roster as an example, Steven, and I look at it and I go, okay, Borsa, suspension, offensive line, young. But you don't know that by the time you get to week five or six or seven, if that's even going to be a concern. Like, you just don't know.
Yeah. Well, players gel, and that's what's really important. And that whole, the whole Mo thing, the momentum thing, it plays a big role. If you get started right and guys start to believe in themselves and believe in each other, amazing things can happen with young group of athletes. It really can.
I'm sorry. I just perked up and you saw that because I see analytics guys say momentum doesn't exist. And I'm like, that's why your analytics guys, come on.
What do you mean it doesn't
exist? No, I see that. I see people saying it on shows. I see them tweeting it. If you don't believe in momentum from play to play or even game to game, maybe even season to season, Steve, it's a huge thing.
It's massive. You can tell.
Yeah.
You know, we had Manitoba beat pretty soundly last year in the third quarter. Like, we were up, I think it was 21-8, and there was a momentum shift. And they made some great plays. They have unbelievable athletes. Seven CFL draft picks last year alone out of Manitoba. Their roster was loaded with talent. And they had a couple of guys make some freakish catches to come back. And then they were up on us 22-21, and we come back and win that game the last second. And it was, and actually we won it because they went for two. They tied it up and went for two and didn't get it. So momentum was huge. And once a team starts rolling with that momentum, sometimes you got to find a way to stop it. There's a reason that coaches will use timeouts strategically to try to kick in that momentum, let things cool down a little bit, get some
or
composure.
Injuries, well-timed injuries.
Yeah, well-timed, yeah. not that anybody ever does that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the great, you talk about this analytics stuff, and one of the best quotes or comments I've seen regarding that to combat that nonsense, it's a different sport, but I remember on After Hours, Rick Tocchet last year. Now, here's a guy that knows a thing or two about winning Stanley Cups, you know, World Championships, Canada Cups. He basically said the question about the analytics came up. Here's an NHL head coach. He said, look, you'd be crazy not to take that information, and you know, numbers don't lie, but they don't always tell the full story either. I mean, yeah, you could have one guy on your team that has a face-off percentage that's higher than this guy. But maybe the guy that has the lower percentage, his job is to take the face-offs against the other team's top center every single game. Well, of course he's not going to have it as high a face-off percentage because he's going against the other team's best players every single night. So he said, like, you can manipulate, it's like politics. You can sort of manipulate and skew the numbers any way you want. Yes, they're valuable tools, you know. If history keeps repeating itself, that's one thing. But the eyeball test, he's like, you know, there's no analytics for great leadership. There's no analytics.
Other than results.
Well, but you could, okay, that's true, but some of the best leaders in sports maybe didn't have the fortune of playing on
that's
great
true
teams.
Too. No, I'm not arguing.
So
with
he's
you,
you know, he likes the analytics, but he says if you start coaching and hanging your hat on all the numbers and all that, you're dead because it's just, they don't tell the whole
story. It's a great point. How much some coaches strictly coach on analytics or maybe even pick a team based on analytics because of what a guy did in a camp and preseason.
Billy Beane.
There's a lot of guys.
And how many World Series has he won?
Zippo. How much, and by the way, great questions on growing the popularity of U-Sports. I got thoughts on that. Couple guys writing about that. But Steve, how much of a role does analytics play in U of R Rams football and how you go about things?
It's growing and it's growing fast. We use analytics a lot. It's data is very important to us. Like, we look at our tendencies, we look at our opponent's tendencies. And I wouldn't even say it's so much for the recruiting process, because there's a lot more to meeting a kid and meeting his parents. That's huge. I want to know where they're coming from. Yeah, of course, we want to see them play. We want to see them put up numbers. We want to see them be successful. But I want to know what's in their heart, and I want to know what's in their mind. I want to know what kind of background, what their foundation's like. I don't want to bring somebody into the team and then be likely troublesome because of it. But in our day-to-day, analytics is growing. It's becoming huge. But anybody who argues that data and analytics is the only thing, they're missing the point. They're not around the young people who are actually getting the job done. There's so much more that goes on in here than goes on a keyboard and putting in data.
Weston Dressler would have never made a team.
Not a chance. A lot of people. I've had players. I had a kid named Jerry Taylor. He wouldn't pass anybody's eyeball test. He ended up being our MVP. Noah Pickton. You wouldn't pick Noah Pickton to be a high school quarterback if you lined up a group of high school athletes. He'd be the last kid you'd pick for the quarterback, but he's the kid who's going to take you to the championship because of what's in here.
Mm-hmm. And, sorry, Kelly, but just Brian writes in and he says, I love Canada West football. Would love it a lot more if I could watch it on TV like it was a few years ago. Nelson writes in and says, what needs to happen to grow the popularity of U Sports football or U Sports in general? And it's a great point. I remember watching on television that great game with the Huskies up there in Saskatoon a couple years ago. It went to overtime, remember? And Noah took some hits in that game. I'm like, how is he getting up? But he did. It was a great. And then all of a sudden, they lost the TV contract. They went to another carrier, which I didn't have that cable. And then all of a sudden, it's not on television anymore. It's on television, but I didn't get it.
Yeah.
TV rules the world. It just does. Steve, you've noticed the CFL's jumped on board on social media with the Canada West like they never have before, already in camps. I've seen this. And you've got a camera crew. Shout out to Munns Media and what they're doing at your camp. I think it's getting in here like we are with our show. Maybe broadcasting the games on here was where it needs to go. Just getting in front of more eyeballs.
I 100% agree with you. You look at the CFL, they're going through their own struggles with people getting butts in seats. We've been struggling for a long time with that. Like, we'll have the big game here or there. We had the home opener with the Mosaic, 16,000 plus. My opinion, the quality of football being played on the field should have that kind of audience every game. I was at the Vanier Cup a couple of years ago in Hamilton. Great game. Calgary versus Laval.
You and I flew out together, yes, side by side.
That's correct.
Yeah.
We had some had a good chat on the way
that's
there.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, but the quality of game being played, which it far exceeded the number of people that were there to watch. It's almost disheartening when you look at this. Like, this exact same game of quality of talent on the field was being played south of the border, there'd be 40 to 50,000 people there to watch it. I can't wrap my head around the apathy of fans in Canada, but I do know that sports fans' attendance is declining everywhere. It's a North American thing. It's not just a Canadian thing. But I think if people came and gave us a chance and saw what we put on the field, the talent, the level, the caliber, the excitement of the games, they'd be impressed.
I call it Canadian fan apathy. You use the exact term. And Steve, by the way, coached in Southern California before coming up here to coach the Rams. Kelly, you've been sitting very patiently. I know you've got takes on this. We got a few minutes. What's yours on... I'm sure you'd love to sink your teeth into marketing...
Well,
Canada West football.
I would and I wouldn't. I think a lot of it would probably end up feeling like taking your head and pounding it against the wall, because I agree with Steve 100%. And it's not just football, let's be clear. It's university Canadian sports in general. Like, I remember talking to Dick White one time, and we were both just, you know, so the girls, the Cougars basketball, they're playing in the finals, Canadian championships, and the gym is absolutely packed, and there's a vibe, and there's an energy and an excitement. And then next year, it's like it didn't happen.
Right back.
They're
to
back to getting friends and family, and you're going like, what if that didn't have legs? What could you possibly have to do to convince sports fans that this is a great product? Look at the University of Regina Cougars hockey team. I mean, I hate to say things like this because, you know, I mean, nobody's a bigger junior hockey guy than me. But the hockey, by and large, at the university level, is better than the Western Hockey League. I mean, think about it. They're all former Western League players that are men now instead of teenagers. So, of course, they're going to be better. That's not taking anything away from, maybe you don't get the Sam Steeles and those caliber of players, but the players are former excellent Western Hockey League players that are 22 and 23 years old, not 17 and 18. And there's what, 300, 400, 500 people at a game? It doesn't make any sense. But it's like going to the bar. You always want to get in the club where there's a lineup down the street. So as long as every time you go to the club, there's nobody in there, the band could be great, but you're sitting there with your drink and your friend and you're going like, yeah, there's nobody here. So success breeds success.
It's human nature.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it either. 2013 Grey Cup here. They're bursting at the seams, lined up 2 hours to get into Ryderville, yet the Tigertown party and the Stamps house, they're empty. And I'm like, what do you people like? You're going to wait two
playing
hours
the same
to
music.
Get in. Playing the same music, selling the same beer. I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's the way people are. But anyway, thank you, Kelly. And we're going to do everything we can, Coach Bryce, for Canada West, talking a lot of Canada West football. Try and get some Huskies people on here as well. But tell me about your schedule coming up. What's immediately in front of you guys for U of R Rams football?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that with the Huskies, because I was going to ask for a plug a little bit. Because
sure.
We have our first ever homecoming game coming up this
nice.
Year on the 13th of September against the Huskies. It's a big deal. We got the Snowbird Seconds. They're going to do a flyover. You know, I want to challenge the fans. I'd like to put this out there and challenge the fans that last time we played at U of S's homecoming, they had, I believe it was 9,000 people is what I heard. It was an unbelievable electric atmosphere. There was nothing better to do in Saskatoon that night than to be at that game. And that's the one that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. Let's beat that. Let's show Saskatoon we can do better. We can do more. I think we can get 10,000 or more in that stadium.
I like the idea.
I really
That'd
think we
something.
Can. It would be awesome.
So you're looking at U of R alum?
Well, yeah.
You'd like to, that's what you'd
well,
like to
U of
get
R alum, but I'd like to get people out. Let's get Rider fans coming. Come and check us out. So that's one of our games we got coming up, and we want to grow that game and make it a big deal. We'd like to have some type of a tradition like they do in Ottawa with the Panda Bowl. They're getting 30,000.
Oh, is that big? And nobody knows about it out here.
Well, this is
massive.
This is Saskatchewan we're talking about here with salt
should
of the
earth. Should be at least as big.
It should be at least as big. I mean, the people here, they're good football fanatic people. They're good sports people.
You know what that reminds me of is the Panda Bowl you're talking about. They get 24,000 at TD Place Stadium for the two clubs there, Carleton, Ottawa. It reminds me of the Apple Cup, Washington State, which I've been to. It reminds me of the Iron Bowl, Alabama, and it's Alabama-Birmingham, I believe, playing that.
Yeah.
It's the Riders were in Ottawa. It was for the playoff game, 2016, and the Panda Bowl was the day before. It's 11 in the morning. I'm seeing kids... partying before the game.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was American style. So maybe we can get it going.
We can right? get that going. I yeah. believe we can.
Not maybe. We will.
We yeah. will. And we can. And we have to have a change, almost a paradigm shift of attitude with regards to football and regards to, you know, it needs to be a party atmosphere. I was at the Vanier this year too. And the administration there, they opened up. There were drunk people everywhere. I was there with
Coach. I didn't want to say it. That's what I saw.
Hey, yeah, there was Coach Sheldon Neal and I were standing yeah. on the sideline, and this young lady fell over and fell onto the back of him. But everybody was having an amazing
party.
Time. There was 12,000 plus people there packed into the stadium. It was a party atmosphere. It was electric. It was enjoyable. Everybody had a great time. Nobody can say that anybody can do a Vanier better than Laval, because I don't think they can. But I think down the road, there will be an appetite for that. And if we can grow our fan base and get people involved, something like that could happen right here.
Maybe if we did a Yucca Fluck promotion or something like that. Where you
those were good days, weren't they? Stevie, whatever you need, we're in.
Awesome.
All right.
You know, our first game is against UBC. We're flying out there next Friday. We want to kick the season off right, beat UBC, and we come back and we got U of A at our home opener. The week after that, on the 13th, we have U of S Huskies we completed our 20 years as a university program with university football, and that's why we're celebrating that as a homecoming. We want to start naming teams of the decade, and we want to start getting
good.
That out there and kind of have people voting on the top team of the 70s, the top team of the 80s, and kind of get fans involved, get people, get those butts in seats and get people involved in this.
Do you qualify for 80s or 90s?
I don't know if I'd qualify for either.
Okay, fair enough. Good question.
I was about 240 pounds.
You were number 55,
line.
Right?
Yeah, I was, yeah. And you look at the... Hey, good memory. Speaking of 58, Corey Renwick.
Right, so should I put that down there? Okay, Corey Renwick, Rams great.
He was the 58 on the team I played on.
And, all right.
Yeah. Good memory.
Yeah, well... Yeah.
He obviously had a real impact in your life.
Well, he ended up being my roommate at Jamestown after
See?
We left.
There you
here,
go.
So I knew it.
Yeah.
Coach Bryce, thanks so much for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Looking forward to the year. In hour two of the program today, Diamond Don Hewitt from CTV Regina. Look at him.
Legend.
Resplendent over there. And Eddie Steele, our Edmonton correspondent, to talk a little Eskimos football as they get ready to host Canada's Game of the Week in the CFL, Eskimos Bombers, Friday at Commonwealth. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Employee pricing is back. These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price.
Get this certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox LT all-wheel drive for only $24,998 plus tax. Or check out this certified pre-owned 2018 Jeep Compass Limited 4x4 for just $28,750 plus tax. We have over 40 low-mileage Jeeps in stock at Canada's largest GM-certified pre-owned retailer.
You pay what we pay!
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.